WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Yes, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here. It's Sunday morning, the 13th of August. We're in the thick of the soup in Atlanta towards the end of the summer. And we are here on a Sunday morning as usual. So good morning. If you looked at your 401k this week, or you looked at the market or the nightly news or the newspaper or Twitter or across social media, pretty much anywhere you looked, you're worried about North Korea. Not the sense that we're not the sense that we're nervous that we couldn't squash all of those issues if all this is bark turned bite, but you're saying to yourself, whoa, what if? So we're not necessarily worried that we couldn't just completely take care of North Korea. That's we all know in our heart of hearts that that's North Korea in itself really not a big issue if we had to go toe-to-toe with North Korea. We all know that as Americans. But if all of the barking turns into biting, then you start to say to yourself, well, what if this thing escalates? So what if we end up in a real fight that goes beyond words? Then you start thinking, really, well, what's China going to do at that point? So is this geopolitical event, is this what's going to finally squash markets? Is the North Korea standoff a game changer for markets? And is this what's going to bring down the house? That is the worry as I talk to folks this week. So it's time to break out the economic history books. It's time to understand what happens to markets in the short run when things get really scary around the world. We're going to look at short run, day of, then we're going to look at what happens out 6 months and out a year. And we haven't had a major geopolitical event really since Brexit. Brexit was the last time we had a real surprising political, call it geopolitical event that markets really were not expecting, took markets off guard. So we have to go back and understand when tensions get high and we start worrying about things like missiles and wars, what happens to your money? So the start of World War II, the Pearl Harbor, first World Trade Center bombing, 9/11 terror attacks. And probably what you've all been thinking about, and I know I talked to many families that remember this like it was yesterday, the Cuban Missile Crisis. So a lot of parallels here, obviously. You've got this small country dictator, quasi-backed by a real military somewhere else far away, puffing their feathers. And that's almost exactly what's happening today. It's just happening in Asia. It's not happening in Cuba. So before we go into these events, I want you to also probably acknowledge a couple of things. I know what you're probably thinking as we're having this conversation, because this is just you and me here today. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters, by the way. And by the way, your calls and questions, the phone lines will be open right now. Let's open them up. And we will get to the phones here. So your particular questions, and if it has to do with financial planning, if it has to do with how this relates back to you, happy to take those calls today. It's the best part about Money Matters. The number 404-872-0750. Or 1-800-WSB-TALK. So I know you're probably thinking, I'm having this conversation, Wes. Hey, Wes, is this time different? Or maybe this time it's different, isn't it? We've never seen anything like this crazy before. Hey, we were dealing with a ridiculous human over there in North Korea. Undoubtedly crazy. He's got the full support of his little nation. He's got real weapons that could be, and by the way, the operative word here, it is still could be. And yes, the prospect of that would be different. And yes, undoubtedly can be a little scary. But now try to think back and put yourself in the time of the event or those geopolitical scary events that you and I have both lived through. Well before, and this is when you're in the middle of it, well before there was any real clear solution. You got to think back to the middle of any war that we've been through, any war where there was no clear end. I mean, get back to World War II or Vietnam or Gulf War, the day that JFK was assassinated. back in 1963. Think back to 1987, Black Monday. Think back to the day of 9/11 and the months that, and the heartache and the emotional heartache that followed that. Remember the enormous amount of uncertainty that we felt. Every single time you felt that same, hey, I don't know where we're going. I don't know when this is going to end. Remember, in every case, every single time, it was a little bit different. It was scary. It was the same fear. It was the same uncertainty, but it was caused by some unique event. And it was different because and we didn't know how we were going to get out of it. We didn't know what the resolution was because none of us can see the future. And when you're in the middle of a crisis, in the middle of a world crisis, and you're staring down the barrel of something that we don't have any control over it. As a human, you're sitting there, you're thinking, how do I invest the right way for my family for the long run? And you have no control over some massive global event that's happening. And when that's the case, there's nothing more unsettling than that. We have no control. We've got no clear picture of what the resolution is going to be. What are we going to do? What are they going to do? How are we going to stop this? And that's supernatural. That is natural. And it's impossible not to play out in your mind the potential worst case scenario. So you're thinking, oh, what if this? What if this? What if this time the avalanche really does start and it doesn't have a quick logical end? And what if it spirals out of control? I mean, that could happen, right? And then what? Well, what do your stocks do at that point? So do you stay invested? Do you run for the hills? Remember this, short-term money for non-investors, short-term money always runs for the hills. So when you see markets react, knee-jerk reactions, like we saw this week, markets down 1.5%, depending on the index you looked at here in the United States, short-term money. Think about what's short-term money. That's who's trading when you see markets go down in these sporadic periods of time. So short-term algorithmic trading. You know what they do? They have computer algorithms that read. They pick up words as data points. So they may read 12,486 notations of the word nuclear or war or terror across the globe, all around every single online news story in the world. And these trading mechanisms literally do they run an algorithmic word scan and they trade on that linguistic data. That's who's trading here. But remember, you're not set up to do that, nor do you want to be set up to do that. You're not that kind of an investor. So as smart and logical as these machines might seem that way, they don't actually produce good results in the end. They really don't. So we've got to go back to and start remembering what happens in the short run, like we're seeing these nervous iterations in markets today versus what really plays out over 6 months and a year. So yes, this week the Dow was down a little over 1%, S&P 500 down about 1.5% due to all this escalating rhetoric with North Korea. You've already heard the news that potentially they've miniaturized nuclear weapons that could end up on an ICBM. And then they have this specific outline, supposedly, for striking Guam. So none of that's comforting news. I get that. And almost naturally, markets they're going to shake on that news. Going to quiver a little bit. And it's the same for other nerve-wracking historical market events. I mean, in the day you hear of scary news, markets always react to the downside. December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor, markets down 4% one day. November 22nd, 1963, JFK assassinated, markets down 3% in one day. October 19th, 1987, now, of course, known as the crash of 87, markets down 20% in one day. 9/11, 01, markets down 5% that day. How about June 24th, 2016? Like yesterday, right? The day of Brexit, markets down almost 4% in one day. But then you look and you start to get out the economic history book and you say, yeah, these were all real events that happened and they were all bad and they were all scary, all of them. But where were markets a short time later. So just 6 months later, after Pearl Harbor, 6 months later, markets in total were down only 6%. That's normal up and down market volatility. You've got to be able to deal with that if you're an investor. That's garden variety volatility. 1 year, up 4%. So after Pearl Harbor, a year later, markets were actually net positive 4%. November 22nd, 1963, JFK assassinated. Oh my goodness, what is happening to the entire world? Scary times. 6 months later, markets up 16%. A year later, up 24%. October 19th, after the giant crash in 1987, 6 months later, markets up 15%. A year later, up 22%. The day of 9/11, 6 months later, markets up 12%. Now, a year later, down 14%. But if you really look at all these geopolitical events, you look a year out, the ones that were actually still down, it's because they were accompanied by a recession, and recession was the cause of markets being down, not the geopolitical event. How about June 24th, 2016? Again, Brexit, 6 months later, up 11%. A year later, up 19.5%. So you've got to look at these events and remember that markets shake, but they don't break because of geopolitical events. Very simply, markets, they get nervous, they shake when uncertainty hits. You give it a short time, markets recover. 6 months later, a year later, we're generally not just a little better off, we're generally much better off. You do the math, and I've listed 18 of the 18 giant geopolitical scary events. And you start with Germany invades France, then Pearl Harbor, then JFK, then Penn Central. You keep going. 87 crash, first World Trade Center bombing. You keep going. USS Cole, Yemen bombing. You've got September 11th. You keep going. Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns. You look at the day of, on average, markets down 3%. We're not even, we're down 1.5. So we may have some shaking to go. You go out a year later, the average is up 2%, over 2% in 6 months, over 2% a year later. So we've got to remember that as scary as things are in the moment, they quickly get better. They quickly get better for stocks in the not-so-distant future. Good morning. You're listening to Money Matters. Stay tuned right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. As we talk about the world we live in, this North Korea standoff, we've been talking about this for probably a year, but of course, this is the week it really escalated. This is the fire and fury week. This is the, hey, maybe fire and fury wasn't tough enough week from Trump. And so Trump said that if North Korea attacked Guam, that things will, as far as what our U.S. military is going to do, things will happen to them like they never thought possible. And they ended it with a, okay, typical Trump fashion. And that's what's starting to shake things. But we're going back today in economic history books and just looking at other really scary times and events that, and really arguably this situation hasn't even gotten scary yet. So yes, there's more fear that could come out in the headlines, but we all know that this is just positioning. We all know that this is just barking back and forth. We know that in a vacuum, North Korea is not an issue for the United States. We've got 35,000 troops in South Korea. We have the Thermo High Altitude Area Defense System, THAAD, right there next to North Korea. So we have a lot of things to be confident in. And we've got to remember that when it comes to markets. We're going to come back with Money Matters. We'll go to the phones. We're talking North Korea. Stay tuned right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Wes Moss here, Ryan Ely, producer here, ready to take your calls and questions. And we'll put them on air. If you don't want to be on air, that's fine. If you want to be on air, that's even better. Because Money Matters, one of the best things about what we do here on the show is take calls and questions from a live audience. We don't know what's headed our way. Not a lot of places left in the nation that still do this, and it's really, it's I guess how radio kind of used to be back in the day, and it still is here at WSB Radio. So we're fortunate for that, and we're appreciative of that, and we're here to help, and we love doing it. So if you are headed to, maybe you're out headed to play some golf, maybe you're out, this is a big golf weekend, some club championship weekend for a lot of places around the state, and school, I guess school's back for a lot of folks. Private school's still not back. Public school is. I had a couple kids that started, my goodness, weeks ago at this point. And we're here on a Sunday morning. So you're headed to brunch or church or golf. What we do here in America on a Sunday morning. Or maybe there's a lot of other things you're doing where you're just hanging out in the kitchen or on the deck, reading the newspaper, listening to Money Matters. Maybe it's on the app or maybe it's on an actual radio. Just an old school radio these days. People still listen to those. And you've got a financial question, then we are here on a Sunday morning to talk it through with you. And so if you've been thinking about, hey, Wes, I'm thinking about retiring in the next year or two or three, or maybe like next week, I get some of these panic emails sometimes. Hey, I got to make a decision in like 2 weeks, Wes. Can we talk on Tuesday? I got to figure out what I'm doing because I'm retiring in like 2 weeks. Do I take this lump sum thing? Do I take the pension amount? Do I take the joint amount with my spouse? Do I take the 10-year period certain? I take the lump sum. And if I take the lump sum, whole nother question, how do I invest it for income? Hey, listen, stock markets are at a high. Technically, bond markets are at a high. Where do you go right now? Cash still doesn't pay much at all, 1% nowadays, if you're lucky. If you're really looking. So there's a lot to think about when it comes to all the vehicles that you use to invest your money. And there's retirement plans, 401ks, 403bs, 457s, and they can get complicated. You've got your own IRA and your own Roth account. And then you've got your regular investment accounts. And all of those have different properties. You can invest them all the same or all differently. So there's a lot of questions that surround the vehicles that you're going to use. And then what are the investment, well, really the investment vehicles, not just the account type, but you've got mutual funds and now indexes. There are more indexes today than there are publicly traded stocks, which is still a fascinating statistic to me. And then we have ETFs that track those indices. So that's now 2,000 plus ETFs, still 7,000, 8,000 mutual funds. There's another 10,000 hedge funds. And then there are annuities, and there are all these different things for you to think about as an investor, and we're here to help give you a little bit of direction on that and try to give you the most objective advice you could find on any Sunday morning to hopefully point you in the right direction. Can we solve every problem for you today? No. Can we set you on the path to make the right decision and have it so that you can sleep better at night knowing the path of your direction? I hope we can. And I know we've done that for many, many years here. We're going on 10 years right here on WSB Radio on Money Matters. So the number here in the studio this Sunday morning, 404-872-0750. Honey, write that down. That's 404-872-0750 is the number here in the studio. Phone lines now open, ready to, happy to take your call and try to help with something that you've been thinking a lot about. Also, you can call us at 1-800-WSB-TALK. Again, that's 1-800-WSB-TALK for all those folks that are listening in outside of Georgia and Texas and California and Seattle, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, my home state, and here happy to help. The other thought here is that there's very often you're worried about you're about to maybe do something and make a financial decision. It might be the pension example I just gave, or it might be I'm about ready to buy a product. So it might be an annuity. It might be I'm ready to jump into this. My advisor told me it was a good idea. My brother-in-law said this was a good idea, but you're just not sure. And before you dive head first, we're happy to kind of talk that through with you. And then maybe it's just a real estate question. Hey, I'm ready to sell this house, buy another house. Should I buy a vacation house? Should I just keep renting on Airbnb home away? I don't know. Let's talk about it. So again, if you have questions, phone lines open here on a Sunday morning and you're listening to Money Matters. The number here, give us a call, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Ryan Ely says, is already giving me some direction on where we're headed here. Ryan, where are we going? I don't know if he's really listening to me. I think he's trying to field phone calls. We're going to Kula. Amy joins us online. Amy, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What's going on? How can I help?
So I'm thinking about retiring in like 4 or 5 years and I'm wondering what steps I should take now to be positioned well then. I have a financial planner and he keeps on saying I need to figure out my expenses when I retire. And that will tell me if I'm in a good position or not. So I probably have about $1.4 million through 401k and other investments, but plan to be mortgage-free by then. Don't know what I should do.
Well, a couple of thoughts here, Amy. So you're 4 to 5 years out, so you have obviously some time. A lot of emphasis gets put on, hey, what's your budget going to be? And most folks I have dealt with over the years and helped, it really is, it's very, very tough to know the answer to that. Now, you can get a pretty darn good idea, of course. So you can just track your spending. You can go and say, look, I spend most of where my spending is on my American Express bill or my Visa bill. And then in addition to that, I've got a mortgage and I've got my utilities and I have my property taxes and I've got a couple other major things that don't go on my credit cards. But so I'll take all of that and I'll mash it up with all of my credit card spending, which is easy and trackable. And I'll say, oh, wow, okay, so the family here is spending $8,000 a month. Well, in retirement, it tells me, and I've read articles that say I need 92% of my pre-retirement spending. And I find that to be really misleading for a lot of families because a couple of really major events happen. Now, Amy, your mortgage is already gone.
Almost gone.
Okay.
It's a very low balance.
So it's going to be gone if you fast forward 4 to 5 years. That's a giant number that goes away of your monthly spending. So you're going to have to, you really want to factor this in two major ways. Yes, your initial spending from, let's say you track this over the next 6 months and you take an average and you say to yourself, well, okay, we're spending $8,000 a month on average, but two of that is the mortgage. So really, if you fast forward to retirement, you're only spending six. The other thought here is that, and I've read plenty of articles and that say that your spending goes up in the first few years because now you're traveling, you're doing all these things you didn't have time to do. I almost never see that happen. So unless you are into some big house renovation or you've got some big family problem to deal with or you're still paying for kids in their school, 95% of the time I see spending go down right away. So really that very first year it goes down almost all the time. So I think it's pretty easy for you to get a good idea of what your spending is going to be. You have plenty of time to do that. And just know that it should be, I think if you plan for 75 to 90% of what you're spending today, make sure you count the mortgage. And by the way, the only variable, Amy, that is probably too far away to really get a good handle on is healthcare. How old will you be when you retire in 4 to 5 years?
I will be 60.
So this is a huge, this is probably the biggest variable that it's going to be unsolved for today, and that's your healthcare cost. So what do you do between 60 and 65 when you get Medicare? We don't know what costs are going to be. We do know they're probably going to be higher. So today, a family, if you go out and get healthcare pre-65, you're going to spend anywhere, a couple could easily be spending $700-$800 a month. If you fast forward to when you retire, we don't know what's going to happen to healthcare, but it arguably is not going to get any less expensive. That's the variable that I'd at least count $1,000 a month for, Amy. until you get to 65, then it's going to come down because of Medicare. It gets less expensive for you. But that's the biggest variable, I believe, that you have to make sure you put into your budget. So you take away your mortgage is minus $2,000. Your new healthcare costs are going to go up by $1,000. And the two other variables that people really forget about when they do their when they do their pre-retirement spending number. One is the current savings, and two is for taxes, because those you may not notice because you're taking out your full, let's say you're contributing the full amount to your 401k and you get your net paycheck. Well, your net paycheck is your salary minus all of those different taxes, which, by the way, those go down in retirement, and your savings. So just remember to back that part of it out, because you're no longer going to be saving. So you don't need that money. It's not part of your budget anymore. And your taxes, your rate will likely, let's just say your rate today is 30. Very often it'll go all the way down to 15 because your adjusted gross income is less. So we got a couple deflationary things going on. Your mortgage is going to go away. Your taxes are going to go down. And you're no longer saving money. So that part of the budget goes away. So it really just comes down to your discretionary spending. Build in a little bit extra than you're probably paying today for healthcare, and make sure you have a vacation or travel fund inside of that budget, because there's no reason that with $1.4 million today, which could easily be $1.5 million, $1.6 million, $1.7 million, $1.8 million by the time you fully retire, and then you've got a bridge, you're going to have a what I call, you're going to be in the retirement gray zone for a while, Amy, because you're going to be a young retiree. You've got from 60 all the way to 62 or all the way to 66, depending on when you want to take it, to deal with Social Security. So you're not going to have Social Security in that early stage of retirement. Do you have a pension, by the way?
No, just 401.
So everything's coming from you, and then I suspect Social Security, have you worked your 40 quarters in the world?
Yes.
Okay, so you will basically be having two major items. You'll have your Social Security at 62 if you want to take it. Now, have you thought about that?
No, I was thinking about doing the whole review, and you know, I heard yesterday there's 27,000 different Social Security rules or regulations, and so haven't factored that piece in yet.
Social Security, I will tell you, for you, it's really just a longevity bet. It's pretty simple. If you want to just maximize what you pull out of Social Security and you put in a Social Security calculator, you're going to live to 95. It'll tell you to wait until you are 70 to take it. If you say I'm going to live to 82, it might say you should take it at age 63 or 64. So you really, the calculators are just, they will show you the math on how long it takes to make up for the years you decided to wait on Social Security while the payments go up and up and up, and then you turn them on. And I've got a Social Security calculator on my website too. You can just go to yourwealth.com, yourwealth.com, under the resources tab, and there's a Social Security calculator there. That would be helpful. But just remember the big, big variables here today. Remember to pull out your spending. Remember to pull out the amount you're going to pay for your mortgage. And then understand that your tax rate, so your net take home, Amy, in retirement, is going to be higher. So factor that into your budget as well. You're listening to Money Matters here, 404-872-0750, the number in the studio. Stay tuned. More Money Matters with me, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. Straight ahead.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. Again, talking about economic history today, understanding what happens when you get geopolitical events going awry. And right now, we're in one of those modes where the Americans are nervous about what's going to happen with North Korea, and I get it. And you're certainly saying to yourself, well, this could be different, Wes. These are nuclear weapons. You're dealing with a crazy man that's not the 1960s anymore. So it's 2017. The world's a scarier place. It's a more volatile place. There's more fireworks in the shed. And the explosions could be bigger and worse. And I understand that. And I get that. But we also have to understand that over time, every single time we are faced with any new geopolitical crisis or event, that it's we can't see, and we may not even know or see our way out of it. How long will this last? How bad will this be? There is always a healing, and stocks look so far ahead and so far forward that they understand that a geopolitical event or a series of geopolitical events doesn't bring down markets. Recessions do. So it's the lack of economic activity that's what hurts stocks. Even though we think to ourselves, well, Pearl Harbor, what did that do to stocks? You know, President Nixon resigning, JFK assassination, Iraq invades Kuwait, the Asian financial crisis, the 9/11, all these things took down markets in the short run. And then over time, there was this rebound within 6 months, and with a year, markets were decidedly higher. And that's what we have to remember. So with that, we're going to go to the phones in the 10 o'clock hour right here, News 95.5, AM 750, WSB.